Previously on We Live Here.
When we started the program, we didn't know how successful we would be. We were concerned about backlash.
I done had so many people take so many application fees and stuff and didn't give me hope.
And for some reason that kind of clicked for me and I was like, okay, you're right. We don't need permission. People can move wherever they want to move.
And actually, to be honest with you, there's more Black people in Chesterfield than people think.
Hey, it's me, Tim.
And me, Camille, and we're walking through a neighborhood that a lot of people here might consider up and coming. It's called The Grove.
AKA Forest Park Southeast. There are funky shops, bars, and brand new high-rise apartments popping up all over the place. And with us is our friend and St. Louis Public Radio producer, Chad Davis. What's up, Chad?
Hey, what's up, y'all?
So, Chad, we asked you to help us out, and I'll just go ahead and say, hack the storytelling model of our good friends at Out of the Blocks, and you heard us do this on an episode called Out of the Ville.
Yeah, so in that episode, we went to one neighborhood, and we told stories from that neighborhood, and we're doing it again today, because we wanted to hear how people here in the Grove have been affected by what's been going on the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. There are a lot of young people that are moving into the neighborhood. I mean, there's one person I met with, her name was Liza Farr. She's a 25-year-old urban planner. She moved to the Grove a few months ago, so I decided to meet up with her in front of her brand new place.
My house honestly looks like it's right on Manchester, but there's this little plaza right between us and this substation that's been painted in the style of like a Jell-O box that you can get in the store, but it says hello and welcome to the Grove, which I love.
Liza invited me up to her apartment, and I mean, I gotta say, it's pretty cool.
The whole place was just recently renovated. It was a historic renovation done by just one guy and his college friend who felt passionate about it, and they did a fantastic job, I think.
Do you know how old this place is?
It's definitely, you know, early 1900s. I was originally drawn to the Grove because this is where I spend all of my time anyway. It's the restaurants I go to. It's my favorite coffee shop, brewery, bars, like everything I tend to do is in the Grove. You know, on top of that, there's an incredible diversity in the Grove that I really, really valued. It's a neighborhood that's really held on to a lot of its original population through putting in affordable housing and just generally it's definitely gentrifying and more people are moving in, but it's happening slow enough that it feels like there's still a good mix of people in the area, which I really wanted.
So Liza makes what I think is a really good point, where the neighborhood is gentrifying at a St. Louis pace, which is really slow.
I struggle with that concept a lot, that gentrification is happening and, you know, that idea that I am a gentrifier, and that scares me. But I try and frame it differently, and for my friends too, because a lot of people I know are grappling with this question. What's the right move? Do I stay in a neighborhood where everyone looks exactly like me, learn nothing, mix with no one, and then, or do I go somewhere that doesn't look everything like me, and then, you know, I am a gentrifier, and I'm terrible, and that's not fair, you know, it's not, and it can't be based on these individual decisions, because people just respond to the choices that they have. And right now, there is no really good choice. And that's because of structures and policies that are in place that are not protecting affordable housing, affordable businesses. All of those things are happening at a policy level that we need to be demanding of our elected officials. That's how we make sure that we aren't gentrifiers. On an individual level, I still think it's important to, if you move into a neighborhood like the Grove, just, you know, try and get to know your neighbors, do your part to actually be a part of the neighborhood and not just coming in because it's convenient or hip or, you know, there's delicious restaurants and all those reasons I already talked about. But, you know, saying hi to people, picking up trash, you know, whatever it is to make you, you know, give back to the neighborhood as well.
So Liza has some messy feelings about changes in the Grove.
Honestly, I think it's fair to say about a lot of the people I spoke with who live and work around here.
So, on this episode, we are getting out of the way and listening to some of the stories you've collected over the past few weeks about a part of St. Louis experiencing gentrification at a Midwestern pace.
From St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here, a show for people somewhere on the woke spectrum. You know, on this show, we joke that our favorite episodes are the ones where we hardly talk.
Indeed. So, Chad, you are our story tour guide of sorts. Where are we starting?
Yeah, so right now we're walking down Manchester, which is like the epicenter of the Grove. I think we should start with, you know, a few business owners.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Let's do it.
I'm doing a tea tree shampoo and mixing a little Avalon, like deep moisturizing shampoo. Lana Coleman, owner of Cultivate Salon. As a kid, my great-grandmother did hair, and she had a salon in her home that my grandfather built. It was like a little porch, and he closed it in, and the neighborhood, the people who lived in the neighborhood would come to her to get their hair done. So I thought it was so cool to have a grandmother that did hair and someone who could do mine. I just enjoyed like watching her, just the fascination of the different styles and how the women would look when they came in and with the difference how they would look when they left. And she made that look so easy. She was doing her hair. I guess it was, 2007, 2008. No longer wanted to be a homeowner, and I wanted to live near my kids' school as well, and my kids went to Metro. So it was a big deal that I stayed in an area where they could still go to school. The landlord basically was kind of telling me about some of the plans for the Grove, and then the idea with Sweetie Pies was over here in the area as well. And other small businesses. So it was like a small little knit neighborhood. I wouldn't say it was the best neighborhood to live in at the time. 10 years ago, 2008 maybe, I think that was. It was just in the beginning where people were feeling comfortable coming South Tower Grove, Manchester area. I noticed there were areas in the Grove that were available. So that's when I saw this location, which is 1110 Tower Grove Avenue. And I was like, it's empty. This could be a good spot. It was a challenge, but once I got to know the community and being on different boards in the community and seeing what all the future plans were for the area, that made me even want to be more involved.
She was like trying to get me to wear jerk girl juice. She was like, no, this saved us.
What's the best part of your job?
The best part of my job is making someone really happy. Like yesterday, I had a woman that came in and she's like, I go to exercise class and I was referred to you from a client, and she comes in and she bounces around and does the class. And I'm like, how do you look good coming and leaving? So when she came, she literally almost wanted to cry because she was like, I can't believe my hair can do this. And that is what makes me feel great, to make women feel good about themselves and realize, even though my hair is natural, I can wear it in this style, or I can wear wash and go or twisted dreads and still look great. But that's what makes me feel good, because that's basically what I'm in it for, is to make women happy about themselves and feel good about themselves.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, we're sitting in the main dining room of Atomic Cowboy, right in front of our kitchen. Chip Schloss. My title is a ringmaster because at the end of the day, I consider what I do for a living is running a circus. Started out in business development for one of the premier electronics brands, Sony, and awkwardly backed into the restaurant, nightclub, entertainment business by virtue of where we were officing on Wash Ave downtown St. Louis. The developer offered to sell me 800 square feet for the price of about a third of the price of what I paid for the entire building that Atomic Cowboy is in now. It really became, let's buy this building, put our offices upstairs, hopefully somebody opens a restaurant downstairs so we can take the stairs to happy hour. And when that didn't materialize, we decided to do it ourselves.
What was that building like, and what did you have to do to get it to this point where it is now?
Well, I mean, it had rafters that were burnt almost, you know, three quarters of the way through. So structurally, there were issues. You could see from the second floor through holes in both levels, floors all the way to the basement. It was a haven for all kinds of countercultural stuff that was going on. The basement was being used as a impromptu firing range. There were cult symbols painted on the floor of the second floor. Very odd things were left behind. Let's keep it to that. Then it just really became sort of like, well, how do we do it? And that's where I, used my San Diego years as an inspiration. We planted bamboo and we tore the sides off of a Quonset hut to turn it into an outdoor bar. And we introduced a fish taco and tequila and margaritas and lots of live entertainment and DJs. And it just sort of took on a life of its own. I was very proud of the fact that Atomic Cowboy was not an easy peg. You couldn't just walk in here and think you knew what kind of bar we were because we had such a diverse audience. And if you thought you walked in here on a Saturday night and it looked a certain way to you, all you had to do was come back the next night or the next night or the next night. The Grove neighborhood thrived. During some of the most controversial moments in St. Louis, you know, where, again, everybody sort of, it's sort of understood that the Grove embraces diversity, that the Grove is a place where everybody can be with everybody, and it's not a scary place. And while there are some people who still, I think, you know, don't want to come down here, it's sort of okay because the neighborhood is doing really well. And I think that the best times, the next decade here in the Grove, is going to be among some of the best years for everybody that's here.
Walking around, you definitely pick up on the sort of eclectic neighborhood vibe both those business owners were talking about. But Chad, I imagine with all the new development, there has to be some longtime residents who are straining to hold on to relationships.
Yeah, for sure. And I really want to take you somewhere that I think gets to the heart of that.
Thank you for calling Family Care Health Centers. This is Angelica. How may I help you? Can you hold 1 second? Okay.
My name is Dr. Heidi Miller. I am a primary care doctor at the Family Care Health Centers. We have two locations, and we call this our Forest Park Southeast location, which is in the Grove on Manchester. I've personally had patients who have lived in this neighborhood for a long time and came to our health center specifically because we were a neighborhood health center and could no longer afford to live here and now have to commute quite a distance to come see me.
Jennifer Barrage-Scott, and I'm a patient at Family Care Health Center. This was a blessing coming to this clinic. When I came here, the people were so nice. They took care of you. They cared about you. I met Mary Ann Sweeney. It was a dream come true. I've been with her, like she said, about 20-something years. If Mary Ann left Family Care Health Center tomorrow, I'll follow her.
Because what you said, I just come here for Mary Ann. And I tell Mary Ann, too, I only showed up for work for you, too.
That goes to show that it's true.
Mary Ann Sweeney, and I'm a family nurse practitioner at Family Care Health Center, Forest Park Southeast.
What is the most satisfying part of this job?
Jennifer.
all of my patients. I love my patients. I love what I do. I love this environment. It started to change in the last, I guess, 5-6 years. Now you see people out walking their dogs. You see people walking up and down the streets. You have restaurants where people are sitting outside. I mean, it's just so much more friendly. The unfortunate thing with this urban reconstruction or whatever you call it, is the fact that all of these wonderful new apartment buildings and nobody can afford to live in them. I couldn't live here because I couldn't afford it. You know, so the people that are used to be here are getting moved further and further back because they just can't afford. I mean, it's all pretty and it's all wonderful and it's all good and it's nice to see, but the people that were here can't afford it anymore.
If I could move back over here tomorrow, I would. In this neighborhood, I really would. My yard was just beautiful. People used to stand in front of my house all the time and just look at it. Say it gives them peace, it's beautiful, it gives them joy. But I moved out 4 years ago. My husband passed and the house was too much for me by myself. So I moved in senior citizen. And I live all the way on the south side, on the other side of Gravois, and I could go to the Crown de Lette, but Marianne's not there. So I drive all the way over here to come to the doctor's office.
You know, a lot of people I talked with sort of echoed what Marianne, the nurse practitioner, was saying. They welcome a lot of what has happened in the Grove, but as property gets more valuable, rent goes up, property taxes go up, and often people who kept this neighborhood intact are getting pushed out.
As a former education reporter, I always have a sense that even with all the choice in education, especially in a city like St. Louis, you can still learn a lot about a neighborhood by just stopping by the neighborhood school.
Yeah, definitely. And I got to spend some time at Adams Elementary.
We should say that we also spent some time at Adams Elementary a couple of seasons ago for an episode called Equity in Education. You should go back and listen to it if you haven't already.
But enough with the shameless plugs. On to the stories you collected.
Nah, I hear you. It's a fun place to be.
And if you're lucky, you might even get a tour from a sixth grader at Adams named Calix Tablamax.
Janitor's closet, office, cafeteria. That bathroom's up here. So you can see our trophy case. We won a lot of trophies. I haven't been here for half of them.
Oh, really?
They were here when I got here.
That's crazy. That's a lot of trophies, too. It's a whole lot of trophies.
Ms. Graves' office is down that way.
My name is Capri Graves. I spell it K-A-P-R-E-E, last name G-R-A-V-E-S. I am the school counselor at Adams Elementary. I did teach for 8 years first. And as a teacher, I realized that kids needed something more than I could give as the teacher because there was no time. You know, really, I had to focus on the academics and follow the curriculum and whatever, you know, was needed had to be done. But I kept feeling like they needed something more from me that I couldn't give them as a teacher. And I thought as a counselor, I could kind of delve into more of their emotional needs or whatever outside of academic. I do some of everything, just some of everything. I mean, I can't even leave out my office and walk down the hall without being stopped. Not just children, teachers who need support, parents who, you know, call, they need support.
You know, I mean, I know their kids and everything, but what are some of the things that, you know, they
You would be surprised. These are serious things. They may say, well, let's say for school, they may say, oh, Ms. Graves, somebody's bullying me. We don't have any food at home to eat. So if I say, well, what did you eat last night? Oh, we just had, you know, whatever. Okay, you know, food. they may say, oh, they may come and say, Miss Grace, do you have any socks? Because I don't have any socks. Or if it's winter, Miss Grace, do you have a hat or gloves? Got a hat and gloves. Just, it could be anything. Miss Graves, mom, they're upset because maybe mom told them you can't talk to your daddy anymore. And they don't like that. Or sometimes it's rare, but they'll you know, come and get help for their schoolwork. You know, this is too hard for me. You know, I can't do it. I need help. The teacher won't help me, you know. So, and I don't mind. I said, bring it to me, Ms. Gray. I'll sit here and help you. So it's just anything. Sometimes it's silly stuff. Bradley talked about my mother, you know, or some, you know. I just feel sad. Sometimes I'll just say, I feel sad. And I mean, this, when it's first graders, I just think, wow. When they say they want to talk, they really do have something to talk about.
My name is Kimberly Sharp. And my title at Adams is the Family and Community Specialist. And as I've been here at the school, I've seen the neighborhood kind of change year by year. You know, new buildings, new businesses are coming up, all the homes they're building around here. And with my job being community focused as well as parental involvement, we kind of have to keep an eye on like how the neighborhood is changing because it affects our enrollment. So one of the issues we've been having at Adams is our enrollment has been declining. And so that has made us look at who's coming in the neighborhood because we're a neighborhood school. So the kids at Adams are from the Grove area. They won't bus them from other places unless they've been here for like years and like at least 4 years. Otherwise, they have to be in this area. So we've been trying to figure out why enrollment is declining. And we're kind of figuring out that it's because the neighborhood is changing. So with it being mixed income, some of those are people who have higher incomes. And there's a small stigma on St. Louis Public Schools. And we're kind of trying to change that at Adams and let you know that, like, it is okay for, like, your kids to come here. It's a safe school. It's not, like, lower than the charter schools or anything. Like, we can hold our own just like they can. So that's where we're at right now, if that answered your question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Chad, what's next?
Well, I just want to introduce you to a priest who has quite a story to tell.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you sent your spirit.
My name is Gerald Kleba, and I'm the retired pastor who served for 16 years at St. Cronin's Church on Boyle and Manchester in the Grove.
Lord, have mercy.
I came there because the previous pastor was a convicted sex abuser that the Archdiocese had covered up for and paid off $80,000 to a family of a second grader whom he'd abused. And there was this big scandal, and he got removed from the parish, and there was nobody there. And I told the Archbishop that I'd be happy to go there. So I knew it was going to take a while just to be me and endure what was going on and kind of hold people's hands through this turmoil, which I did.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
And some of the things that kept the parish really authentic in the neighborhood, I think, were that we have a very alive St. Vincent de Paul Society, which is a Catholic organization that reaches out to the poor, the hungry, the homeless, the people without utilities. And so this group was very good at reaching out to the littlest people in the neighborhood and the neediest people in the neighborhood. As the neighborhood became more gentrified, Catholic Charities pulled out of the endeavor 2 years ago. People in the community and people from St. Cronin's reorganized a nonprofit corporation and reinstituted Midtown, now calling it Midtown Community Services rather than Midtown Catholic Family Services. So it was kind of a struggle to get it going again, but at that time, it was my 50th anniversary as a priest, and we needed money. So I told all the people who came to celebrate my 50th anniversary that we needed money, so they donated $120,000 at my 50th anniversary, and that really kind of goosed the new Midtown Community Services into life. And my notion about community organizing is that you can get people organized and you can give them knowledge, and that can sometimes be enough of a force to take on the people who got the money, you know, because that doesn't just get you the money automatically. But the power of people organized and the power of people organized with knowledge can make a difference.
So even with Midtown operating on its own, a lot of the programs that started years ago are still present. There's a group of women there called the Midtown Mamas. They meet up once a week and socialize, go on field trips, work with the community garden, and a lot more. And I stopped by one of their meetings to hear how they've seen the neighborhood change.
My name is Deborah Knighton. I'm in several things. I go to the Walking Club, Midtown Mamas, Family Pride. Well, I have five children. All five of them went to St. Cronus Head Start. And while they was going to St. Cronus Head Start, I was a single parent. So I went to Joyce and John, and I was asking them about why don't they have something for the mothers to do? They have something for the kids to do. Us parents need something to do, too, while the kids are at school. So that's when we thought of Mother's Club. And she said we can get 10 or more mothers, then we can have Mother's Club. So we got the 10 mothers, and we had Mother's Club. My mother name is Ellen Knighton, which she's deceased now. Me, her, we started the Mother's Club. Yep. They started coming, and Mother's Club's been going ever since.
Yeah. And it started in 1993.
Yep, 1993. Yeah, see, she know it all.
My name is Bobby Sice, and I'm the chairperson of Voices of Women, who started with the Midtown Mamas, and most of the Midtown Mamas were Voices of Women.
What made you want to get started here?
The field trips, the 2 hours that you didn't have to be bothered with your children, your man, your bills. It was 2 hours that I ate some candy that I didn't usually eat. We talked about issues that went on during that day and issues with our kids, with the politics, and we had fun.
Ernestine Isaiah. I've been here almost 50 years. When I came here, we couldn't come over Forest Park.
Was because of discrimination?
Yes. They had stores all up and down out of Manchester. They had all the stores. They had the laundromat. They had the stores. The 10 cent store. Yeah, they called it the 10 cent store. And they had everything. Yes, they had everything down here.
And how have things changed here?
There's more bars. There's more restaurants that the people can't afford. They're not family friendly. They're not budget friendly. When you're on a fixed income, you have to sort of watch what you do with your money and watch how you eat. That's a big difference. Everything was not supposed to be upscale. The houses was going to be upscale, the rent was going to be upscale, but they took the restaurants upscale. Everything on Manchester is upscale.
But this is too high. No, and it's too high for a family afford to really actually go out and enjoy a family day. It's too high for people to take their family out in the Grove to actually eat. And it's more now that it's for adults than it is for kids. You find more 21 and over now going to different places. They could get in there to eat, but you can't carry your kids. Yes, ma'am. So, I mean, they need to change some rules and things that they got, you know, and make it neighborhood friendly, I'm going to say. I ain't going to say make it people friendly. Neighborhood friendly. It's dog friendly, but if I take $25 and say I want to go in here and have me maybe a beer and have some dinner, By the time I get to dinner, I can't buy the beer. So if I buy the beer, I can't have the dinner.
Right now, a lot of people are worried about, are they still going to be in the neighborhood with the new building, with all of the $300,000 houses on your block and yours only cost $18,000. And it's just a lot of people, it's a lot of code violation. It will be a lot of code violations. It will be a lot of things that seniors can't fix. They will be the people that target, the people who have been here the longest will be the people targeted.
What do people kind of want to see, you know, in the neighborhood?
We need to see more senior home repair help. We need other free home repairs. A lot of times we need better playgrounds. But I do feel the greatest need is for the people who have maintained houses and homes for 30 and 40 years, maybe even for a little while. I think the help should be there so they can maintain and stay in the neighborhood and not be forced out. And they say they're not gentrifying the neighborhood. They have gentrified the neighborhood.
Chad, thank you so much for all your work on this episode and for taking us to the Grove.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. It's really been a blast these last few weeks.
And we should say that this episode is technically dropping on Thanksgiving Day 2018, so happy Thanksgiving to everyone. And We Live Here is produced by me, Tim Lloyd.
And me, Camille Stanley.
Alana Sistrunk is our associate producer.
And Robert Peterson is our boss. He is the director of programming at St. Louis Public Radio.
And from St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.